Welcome to the DuPage Vineyard Teaching Channel. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, well, we've been talking about this theme of more of you, God, and how God's invited us to pursue Him for more, and we're going after that. And we've been talking about worship a lot and how to connect with God in worship. I want to change gears a little bit this morning and talk about another aspect, one of the tools, I think, that God has given us that enable us to receive more as we understand it. It's something that we can do for each other and for our kids, and something that as we learn about, understand kind of God's ways in this area, that we can receive and I want to say appropriate or grab hold of more of what God has. And that's one of the keys to getting more. I mean, the word we throw around in church a lot is testimony. We usually use it in terms of giving your testimony, which means telling someone how you came to Christ and what that story is. And that's important, but that's not how I'm talking about it today. What I'm talking about is remembering and telling and celebrating what God has done. What has God done in your life, lately even. And to back that up, I want to just tell you a little story. Many of you know my oldest daughter, Tehila. She's now out in California at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. If you're not familiar with that, think of a Bible school that emphasizes the Holy Spirit and His work. That's a very simple way of framing it. And, you know, she graduated from college this spring with a degree in dance, and most of her friends were heading out to New York to, you know, try and get into the dance world and audition, all that stuff. And she felt, though, that she wanted to take a year where she got more training before she entered that world and go deeper with God and get trained in ministry and things like that. And that was all well and good, and she was looking at several places and decided on going to this one in California. But as she did that, then we had to have the conversation. And the conversation was about, so how are you going to pay for this? And unfortunately, as a dad, the conversation was one I don't really like to have, which was, just so we're really clear, we cannot help you with this. We cannot pay for this. Okay, it's not there. We got you through school. Now you're on your own. So if you want to go, you're going to have to earn that money or raise that money, but we can't help. And she said, sure, that's fine. And when she figured all the costs involved in tuition and room and board and all that stuff, she figured it would be a solid $10,000, maybe a little bit more. And I said, well, that's great. Now, my practical side kicks in here. She graduated in May, and then she had a wedding to go to or something, so she decided she was going to raise funds. I thought, that's great, but she didn't start until June. And she had to be there in August. And now, I don't know about you, if you're familiar with fundraising, I looked at that and said, good luck. And I had to work to zip my mouth to not, you know, kind of every day be the dad who comes and says, hey, did you do that yet? Hey, did you do that yet? So I probably got down to once or twice a week. But tried to just say, you know what? It's there. And at my worst days, I'd come and say, just see, you remember that conversation we had that we can't help you and it's all on you? So with that, she's like, I remember. And so she started fundraising. And what I did, unbeknownst to her, even to Anita, I think, was kind of sit down and then say, okay, I know she's not going to raise this money. Maybe she'll get half. What are we going to do? And, well, we could, you know, delay this one and put this off. And, well, we won't save for that. And, you know, figure out, well, we can, you know, come up with X amount of money so that when she falls short, we can step in and help. Because I, you know, $10,000 is a lot of money, and she didn't leave herself very much time. So I figured, oh, we can get this much, and did it. But I didn't tell her because I didn't want her to think, well, it's coming, you know, from us. So imagine my surprise when roughly a week or two before she left, she came in and said, well, I got it all. I'm like, what? And she got it all between, it was amazing. Money just started coming in. And when she sent out letters and put some stuff on Facebook, and that was about it, actually. She sent out letters and put stuff on Facebook, and money just started coming in from all over. friends who she had from college who couldn't afford, who didn't have any money, found money and sent it to her. People that she hasn't talked to in years started committing to supporting her monthly, and it just came in between the gifts that she got and the commitments she got. All of it was covered, her tuition, all her living expenses, etc. And in like 2 months. And I was watching that, and after it all came in, we had another conversation where I said, wow, that's awesome, because I had really planned on helping you out this way with this much. And she's like, Dad, why would you do that? She's like, I really wanted to do this without your help. I'm like, well, you did. That's great. We're both really glad, you know? And it was one of those, oh, ye of little faith moments on my part, you know? You know, you ever had those? You know, okay, well, I have those regularly. And I probably should have known better. Now, let me give you a little backdrop before we actually get into some of the scriptures we're going to look at today. Tehila and all of our kids, really, have grown up hearing story after story after story of God's provision. They've seen it in our life. They've seen how God has come through over and over again. And it's something that we've talked about. You know, we'll have different ways, times of talking about, remember when this happened, remember when that happened, and we remind ourselves about it. We'll retell those stories often. By the way, just for the record, for some of you, hearing those stories is wonderful, but one of the prerequisites for having those kind of stories is that you're in a position where you need those kind of stories. You understand what I'm saying? That there's a place where you're going, I really need God to come through, and that is never a comfortable place. That is an uncomfortable place where we're like, I don't know what to do. I don't have enough. I don't know how to do this. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And then God comes through and you say, oh, God, thank you so much. And as a little aside, I think some of us, we sometimes complain or get upset when God is actually positioning us to do something wonderful. Because in the positioning, it never feels good. It never feels like, oh, boy, I can't, I got a breakthrough coming or something great's going to happen. It just feels like, I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough time, or I don't know how to do this, and I don't know, and that's a very uncomfortable place. So I say it because sometimes we undercut ourselves, not realizing that the very difficulties we have are the screen, are the canvas that God is going to paint something on that's going to look really good later. But anyways, so we've been in that position often, and our kids have grown up hearing that kind of stories. So for example, I think I've shared this before. It was a number of years ago, we went on a cruise as a family. I'd won a grant, and it paid for this all-expense-paid cruise. And it was wonderful. It was the first vacation we'd had in years. We get down there, and we're about to get on, and they say, oh, you can't get on the ship. Anita didn't have her green card with her, and they wouldn't let us on. And now they say, well, the rest of you can get on, but she can't. We're like, well, that's not going to work very well. We're in tears, and, you know, what were we doing? And different people stepped up, and we prayed, and lo and behold, by the end of the time that people were boarding, they let us on. Kind of against the rules, we figured out a way. We found someone who could fax them the green card, and they took that, and then we had it shipped to us, and it was this whole big thing. But we got on. And we've talked about that many times over the years, about look what God did for us. You know, the way Jeshua was born, so we know the story, he wasn't supposed to survive, or he was supposed to be a vegetable. And God came through and did something miraculous for us. And we talk about that. So Tehila and all our kids have grown up hearing those stories and remembering them, not just once, but over and over we tell them. So it shouldn't really have been a surprise to me that when faced with a situation, Tehila was saying, well, yeah, I'm just going to ask God. And, you know, I've seen God come through over and over and over and over again, kind of implicitly, and haven't you too, Dad? Oh, yeah, okay. I have too, me too. But it built something into her. It built a faith into her that was just expecting God. If I put myself out there and God wants me to do this and I go after it, it's going to happen. And I'm going, well, it's not always that simple, babe, but you know what? Her faith versus my wisdom, I'll take her faith in this way. So, point being there, she knew that stuff because she had heard the stories. One of the things that we need to do for each other, for our kids, for our grandkids, for our friends, at every level, not just for our kids, is to remember what God has done and tell those stories to each other. Share what God has done. Look how God delivered me here. Look how God provided for me here. Look how God answered this prayer here. And doing that actually releases the presence of power of God in a different way. So, tell your stories. Where have you seen him at work? Think about it right now. If you think about the last week or two, where have you seen God at work? Where have you seen him answer prayer or encourage you or just surprise you? I suspect if I open up right now and forced you, including the ones who are afraid of being up front of everybody, we'd hear a whole lot of stories. Okay? But one of the keys to getting more of God, I'm going to unpack this a second, is being in a context where we are telling and hearing the stories of what God has done. Okay? So let's look at a couple scriptures that where we're just encouraged to do it. Deuteronomy 4:9. Let's put these up there. Be careful and watch yourselves closely. This is God's word to, through Moses to Israel, to the nation. So that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Now, I want you to notice, he's not just saying, teach them the important things about God. Teach them what you have seen. Now, they had seen God do some amazing miracles, right? Parting the Red Sea and delivering them from Egypt and bringing water out of a rock and multiplying. They had seen some amazing things. And what he's saying is, don't let that slip from your heart. Tell other people. Because in the telling, you cement them in your own heart and you impart something to them. So it's a warning and an encouragement. Don't let this happen. So teach them. Talk about what's happened. Psalm 40. This is David. He's saying, I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. Some of us have developed a habit of sealing our lips. And if you want on in the whole context of the passage, David is talking there about telling the goodness of God and the things God has done. Okay, righteousness is kind of a, in that context, is kind of a umbrella term, talking about all the things God's done. And you'll see that if you go through Psalms, David says that over and over again. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to tell about the mighty works of God. I'm going to tell my brothers. I'm going to tell it in the assembly. He says, I'm not going to seal my lips. Have you ever done that? I have. Right? Sealed your lips. You just said, oh, I've got a great story. Oh, no one's going to be interested. Well, it's not that big a deal, really. I mean, he's got a great story. Mine is just a little one. And, you know, that was a big answer to prayer. Mine was just a little one. And we minimize it, and we actually seal our lips. And in so doing, we actually cheat each other from hearing and being able to celebrate what God has done. And we come up with all kinds of reasons why. I'm not going to go through those, except to say, we need to become like David and say, I'm not going to do that. Whether it's because you don't think it's a great story or you're not good at public speaking, you know, we can get past all that. We need to not seal our lips. Third one, we're going to cover four altogether. Psalm 78. We're going to look at two verses, 78:4, talking about the mighty works of God. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. And then 78:7 says, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. I read that, and that describes the story I just told you about Tehillah, right? Hearing over and over, this is what God has done, this is what God has done, and then able to put her trust in God in that setting. As we tell those stories to our kids and to each other, we build something into our lives. It's one of the ways we minister to each other. And the last one, Psalm 145. All you have made will praise you, O Lord, your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. It's one of the realities of the world is that if we don't tell what God has done, nobody gets to hear what God has done. Right? I mean, if the disciples had kept their mouths shut after the resurrection, we would not be here. They had to tell in order for some people to hear and then pass that on. Now, that's true about Jesus, about who he was, his life and death and resurrection. It's also true about what God is doing in our life today, right now. And I promise you, there are some people who really need to hear what God is doing in your life for their own sake. And we'll get to that in a minute more. But the point there, and I could have put up probably 10 times that many verses. I put up those just to help you see, you know what, this is a theme throughout all of Scripture. Tell what God is doing. Tell what God has done. Tell it. It's important. It will have an impact. It will release faith. It will release trust in people. Do it over and over again. Find ways to do that. Be creative about it. One of the things that we do as a family, and this is all the credit goes to my wife on this, by the way. I can claim no credit. Is every year, she will find for everybody in the family and one for the family a Christmas ornament. And the Christmas ornament describes something of what happened that year. So the year that we had the big thing with the cruise, she got a little cruise ship. And every year we put this little cruise ship on the Christmas tree. But on the box for each of those ornaments is a list of things. So if, for example, Jeshua has a box. And on that one for 1998, when he was actually alive. right, there'll be a list of things, of 3, 4, 5, 6 things that happened in Jeshua's life that year. And as we pull out that ornament, someone will read what's on the box, and we put up there, and it's a reminder every year. Look at, because we forget. This is what God did back in March. Wow, it's December. I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about, and most of the time, we've forgotten most of those things until we remind ourselves. And to be fair, we probably were much more organized about it when the kids were little. And as they get bigger and things get more chaotic, it seems, we probably let that slip a little bit. But we still do it. It's just a way to remind ourselves, to remember what God has done. Be creative. Do it at the dinner table. Do it wherever. Do it in your small groups. Do it with each other. This is what God has done. Now, why is that so important? Let me give you a couple reasons. One, it releases gratitude and thanksgiving in our hearts. It does it when we tell the stories. We remember what God has done, and it releases a sense of gratitude, and other people get to give thanks as well. Paul talked often about how he would give thanks for what he heard other people doing and how God was working through them. And by the way, studies show that gratitude, if you want to live longer and be happier, got that? Most of us would say, oh, that sounds good. Longer life, happier life. Develop the practice, the attitude of gratitude, of giving thanks. It actually will have a very practical impact on your life. Telling those stories, our stories, hearing other people's stories, fosters that. Okay? And if you think about it, isn't that just true on a human level? If you do something for someone, they come back and they're full of thanksgiving, like, ah, oh, thank you so much, that was wonderful, I really appreciate that. The odds that you will do it again have actually gone up. If you go out of your way for someone and that you do something for them and they blow it off and go on, don't mention it, you know, the reality is most of us make a little note in the back of our mind and say, well, you know what, I'm not going to do that for him again. I'm not going to do it for her. They didn't owe me anything, but we take note of that. Now, I think God is the same way. I don't think he's petty, but I think there's a spiritual principle there that thanksgiving actually opens the door to more of something. Okay, that's true on a human level. I think it's true on a divine level. Secondly, it releases faith. That was the whole point of the story about Tehillah. It released faith in her. Secondly, it releases faith in us. We can now pray, do it again, Lord. One of the easiest prayers to pray with faith is, do it again, Lord. When you look back at your life, and you can look and say, boy, God did that for me. I know that was God. He did it there. Now you know he can do it, and you know he's willing to do it, so it's much easier to come back and say, God, do it again. God, you provided for me here and here and here. God, do it again. God, you've healed me when I've been here and here. You've comforted me when I've been down here and here. God, I need it again. But we can approach with confidence because we've seen it and we've heard those stories. Okay, it builds a foundation into us. you know, I think it was it at the cruise, it might have been another time where we were talking as a family, and Jesha popped up. He said, you know what, you guys, no one in this family ever has a right to not believe God will provide for us. He's done it so many times, none of us has the right to ever go there anymore. There's one of those ones I listened to, I said, you're right. Because we have seen it. And we've chosen as best we can to try and remember it and remind each other of it. So we don't have that right. So now I want to show you one more verse, and this is actually the key to what I want to say this morning. That was all context. We're called to put this stuff out there. We're called to share it with each other. It has an impact. Revelation 19:10 is a really interesting verse. Now, if you put it in context, and I'm going to back it up a little bit here, all of Revelation 19 is a picture of heaven worshiping. You know, it says, 19:1 says, after this I heard what sounded like the sound of a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are His judgments. And it goes on and says over and over what He's done. And then I heard this voice that sounded like a great multitude. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. And talks about the wedding has come. And then the angel tells John, write this down. And then this is where it kicks in. John says, he sees that. John sees all these people, this multitude worshiping God and celebrating what God has done and what that tells us about who God is. And this is this crazy picture of just of glorious chaos, you know, a multitude. It sounds so like a roar. If you've been at a, you know, a football stadium, for example, you've heard the roar and it can almost, you can almost feel it physically. You know, it like rolls over you and like it's electric. That was the picture in heaven. And he ends up by saying, you know, don't do it. I'm a fellow, you know, he sees this angel he's going to worship. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I think I'm just starting to understand that phrase a little bit better, that last line. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want to break that down a minute. The testimony of Jesus, that's telling. Testimony is to testify, to tell what you've seen and heard of Jesus. For you and I to tell, that's what was happening in heaven. They were celebrating what Jesus had done, the salvation He had won, the victory over the enemy that He had won. They're celebrating it. He's saying the testimony of Jesus, telling each other what God has said and done, what He's done for you in your life, that's actually the spirit of prophecy. Now, prophecy is a gift that God's given to build us up, encourage us, edify us, strengthen us. That's what happens when we start sharing what God has done. That's the spirit of prophecy. That's the attitude, that's the underlying reality to it. We do that to build each other up. And furthermore, when you hear a story, I'm going to rephrase it now, when you hear what someone is telling you that, boy, God did this for me, or I saw God do this, He protected me this way, He answered this prayer, that is a word from God to you that this is something God does. And if He'll do it for Joe, He'll do it for you. You follow me? This, every time we do that, every time we share, in one sense, we are giving a prophetic word to the person we're talking about that says, you know what, if God will do it for me, He'll do it for you. If God will do it for me, He'll do it for all of you. If God will do it for Tehillah, He will do it for you. That testimony, this is what Jesus has done for me, is a word to you and I. Now think about it for a minute. Actually, let me back up. The first major healing I ever saw when I was praying for people involved a young girl named Anna. She was a high school girl. She had a little bit of a learning disability and a really bad limp. So she would, you know, come in and she would just walk like this. And I mean, you know what high school is like, and to be in high school and be different that way is not a really pleasant experience. I mean, she was laughed at, she was made fun of, and you know, you combine that with the learning, it was just hard. So she comes into our little church in Humboldt Park, and we're praying, and we'd been learning about healing. She said, well, can we pray for you? And she said, sure. And we found out that one leg was actually shorter than the other. That was why she was limping. So we got down and started praying, and I was, you know, very bold. I was in front of her and, you know, put her legs out, and it was significant enough that there was no doubt, like, I wonder if it's really a different length. And so I just put my hand underneath her ankles and started praying that God would make them even, that he'd grow out the one leg. I'd seen that at some conference. I thought, well, that was really cool. I'm going to try that. It wasn't a word from God. It was just like, that's cool. I want to see that. So we pray for a little bit. Nothing happens. And I asked her, so what, are you feeling anything? What's happened? She said, I feel like someone's tugging on my leg. Now, I was holding her leg because I didn't want to get anyone kind of messing stuff up in there. Not like I was the guy, but I didn't want someone tugging on the leg or whatever. So I knew that was not happening. All of a sudden, I had all kinds of faith. And I knew this is going to happen. God's got to be God tugging her leg. So I said, in Jesus' name, grow. And it shot out. And it worked. Well, it turns out, actually, it wasn't that her leg grew, but her pelvic bone was twisted. And what happened, we found out later as she went back to the doctor, that in praying that the pelvic bone actually twisted back into place, which resulted in her leg then being at the proper length. At the time, all I knew is it was here, now it's here. Whoa. Well, a number of years later, I'm sharing that in a service. And someone, an older woman, she's probably in her 50s at the point, heard that and said, that's for me. Yeah, I know. In other words, she was my age. Back then, I thought that was older. But, you know, now I think, you know, there was a young woman in the church who heard that. You know, things change as you get old, as you go through life. Your perspective on certain things change, you know. I'm hoping to become mature before I get old. Anyways, but she hears that and she thinks, you know what, I'm going to go for that. So we have a prayer time and she comes up limping and sits down, and one of our other pastors comes over and, you know, prays for her. And all of a sudden, she gets healed of her, it was a hip thing and her leg, and God actually did something on her knee as well. And he looks over me and goes, Dave, it worked! I'm like, oh, it did? But all of that was prompted by her hearing this testimony of what God had done years before and saying, I want that for me. And went up after it. And I don't think it was, you know, the guy who was praying necessarily or that whatever. It was, she responded in faith. She heard what God had done, said, I want that for me, and went after it. And she got a significant healing. So think of it this way. If you hear a story from someone who comes up and says, man, I had a knee problem and God heals it. If you have a knee problem, that's a word to you from God. If you hear about how God has healed someone of a broken heart, and you are coming in with a broken heart, that is a word from God to you that he will heal a broken heart. If you hear about someone who had their marriage restored, and you're struggling in your marriage, that is a word from God to you that, you know what, God restores marriages. He heals relationships. If you hear about someone who God provided them a job and you're looking for a job, that's a word from God to you, a word of encouragement. You know what? God can provide jobs. Whatever that is, when you hear someone share it, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. That testimony of what Jesus has done is a prophetic word for you. And you need to grab hold of it and say, God, I want that. I'm taking that for me, Lord. In the same way as if someone came up to you and said, you know what, I feel like the Lord is saying X, Y, Z to you. So nice to see you again. That's a prophetic word in the same way as if someone comes up and gives it to you personally. Okay. Now, sometimes you'll get it right away, like this woman who came up for prayer. Sometimes that word will give you strength to persevere in your pursuit. Not everything happens in the moment. I wish it did, right? We all do. Not everything is the immediate miracle. But sometimes those words are intended to just give you the courage and the faith to persevere and say, God, I'm going to keep pursuing you. That's for me, and I'm going to keep going after you for it. I'm not going to give in to the discouragement or tiredness that sometimes comes. Either way, you'll be encouraged. If you receive that as, this is a word from me. This is from the Lord for me. So, now the implications of that for us is, one, if you have a story, it's really important that you share it. It's important that you share it, one, for your own sake, because it fosters thanksgiving and faith in you. It also fosters thanksgiving and faith in other people as they hear stories over and over of what God has done. And lastly, we unleash something of the activity of God by giving that kind of prophetic word, if I can say it that way. That kind of prophetic word that says, this is what God has done. He can do it for you. In other words, if you have a story, you have a debt. You understand? There's two ways you get in debt, right? One is, if I can borrow money from Blake, and then I owe Blake money. I haven't done that yet. But, or another way I could owe Blake is if Jonathan gives me something for Blake and say, hey, could you give this to Blake? And I say, okay, now I still owe Blake something, right? The things God does for us are like that. God gives something to us, and we now owe it to the people around us. In Romans 1, Paul talked about how he was in debt to the world to share the gospel, because God had given him the gospel, and now he owed that to the people he met to share it with them. When God does something for you, you owe it to the people around you to share it. So, what does that mean? Well, one, starting today, a little later, and ongoing in our services, we're going to start to carve out some time for people to share testimonies about what God has done. Because it really makes no sense for me to talk about this and say, boy, you guys should do that, and then not create a place for you to do it. Right? Now, some of you inside, as soon as I said that, are dying. Because the worst nightmare you will ever have is the thought of standing up here in front of people and talking. You would rather say, just kill me now. For you, we'll videotape him. Come to me, talk, we'll figure it out, we'll videotape. That way we can edit it, we'll make you look really good, and we'll show it on the screen. It'll be nice, short, concise, etc. If you're really an extrovert and you love having attention, you love having people look at you, this is really an easy word to hear. You're like, yeah, I got 10 things. When can I start? Could you like cut the sermon down? Because I got a lot to share, you know. But a lot of us are in the other category of, oh, don't make me do that. Regardless of which category you're in, you have a debt to pay. You owe it to the people around you to share some of those stories. We'll figure out as we go the best way to do it to make it easy for people. I mean, I'm not kidding about videotaping it. We really will. I don't care if people write, you have to write it down, you come up here and read it like this. Last week I prayed and God, and you don't, you hide your face so no one can see you. That's totally fine. The important thing is that we begin to share those stories with each other. And so we're going to carve out time in our services to do that. Okay? Let's have the band come on up, Jess, because we're going to go into worship. But as we do this, I want you to go into it with the attitude of right now start thinking, what has God done for me? What has He done? And just because that sparks worship as well, that kind of gratitude. Think about your life. What God has done. Does it matter to you that He's forgiven your sins, that when you come to God, you can come clean, without shame, without fear? I hope it matters. Remind yourself of the things God has done like that for you. Does it matter that you are a son or a daughter of the living God, and you can come freely and sit on His lap as you worship, and He loves you and wants to hold you and is crazy about you? I hope it does. So begin to call to mind right now the things that God has done for you. And what has He done for you lately? Has He provided some encouragement? Has He answered a prayer? Have you seen Him work through you to touch somebody else? what has God done for you lately? Because as we go into worship then, as we call those things to mind, the natural progression is saying, God, you did this and this and this and this for me. Thank you. I love you. That's our response. Worship, in that sense, is our response to look at what God has done for me.
This has been a DuPage Vineyard Church production.